Tom Carkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, we are looking at mainly sunny conditions. We will have a high around the mid-70s. Temperature-wise, Kenosha starting things out at 72 degrees. 75 in Burlington. Milwaukee 72. It's 71 in Racine. State Senator Van Wongard says he's confident that proposed Foxconn manufacturing facility is going to be built in his district, which includes, of course, parts of both Racine and Kenosha counties. Says negotiators are still working out the exact location for the plant. He doesn't know all the details about the incentive package being offered, but he expects it to be close to the $3 billion mentioned by Governor Walker during that Wednesday announcement at the White House.
That commitment would be, what does that come out to, about $200 million a year in incentives. And those packages, you know, you got to look to wait to see what the package is. And so when we see what that memorandum of understanding is between the negotiators, what the Gov's team has negotiated and the company's team, we'll have a better idea of how to put that package together.
It says the legislative working group is going to be formed to review the incentive package, which he notes would be paid out over 15 years. Without the exact location, it's kind of difficult for some state lawmakers from Racine and Kenosha counties to give a detailed reaction to the Foxconn announcement, except just the general enthusiasm. Democratic Racine Representative Corey Mason is going to be running for mayor in the upcoming special election, calls the whole thing exciting. But he says having enough workers qualified for those thousands of jobs being promoted, that is something to be considered.
Do we have the job training in place and the apprenticeship model in place so that there's enough workers to actually build the facilities and ultimately work at the facility when it's there? Certainly, you know, it's great that they're going to locate this right in our backyard. I'm interested in thinking through how we get as many people from the local area who might want to be qualified or become qualified to take advantage of it, just to help get people back to work in what are hopefully good family-supporting wages.
He notes a project of this size has never been presented in Wisconsin. It's looking for those in education. Well, Gateway could play a big role in helping those fill those jobs that are going to have to be part of this project. In a statement, Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave says Racine County would welcome this type of investment, but he says it's our policy not to comment on speculation around potential development opportunities. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester calling it a day to remember in Wisconsin. Representative Peter Barker from Kenosha, the Assembly Minority Leader, says has the potential to make an enormous impact economically in the region, and that's why the governor and the legislature must protect taxpayers and provide opportunities for long-term family-supporting jobs. Well, the emphasis, of course, the spotlight, if you will, is on the Foxconn project, but another big company, Amazon, looking to put thousands of new workers into its fulfillment centers around the country, including Kenosha County. Company's going to hire for 50,000 new positions next week, including tens of thousands of full-time jobs. They'll be available at the job fairs to be held around the country next Wednesday, August 2nd, with what's being billed as Amazon Jobs Day. Some positions will be filled on the spot. The job fair is to be taking place from 8 in the morning until noon at the fulfillment centers. Federal Emergency Management Agency requested by Governor Walker to do preliminary damage assessments next week on the flooding to the homes and public infrastructure in Kenosha, Racine, and in Walworth counties.
The governor notes that first responders, emergency managers, volunteers, and local officials work tirelessly to help those impacted by the more than 8 inches of rain that fell in southeast Wisconsin July 11th into the 12th. Thousands of homes and businesses were impacted, along with major roads and bridges. Several dams and other infrastructure were also affected. And the Fox River rose to record flood stage in Burlington and New Munster. Fortunately, there were no serious injuries. Teams comprised of officials with FEMA and Wisconsin Emergency Management will work with local and state officials in viewing both residential and public infrastructure damage. Governor Walker also continues to be updated on the cleanup and recovery efforts in southwest and west central Wisconsin. Those areas hit by flooding last week, with damage assessments just beginning. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
In Racine, fire caused about $6,000 damage to a home at 3205 Moreland Avenue on the far southwest side. That's where an oven caught fire for unexplained reasons. The owner called 911 after trying to put out the flames herself, according to a fire department news release. She and her four children escaped without injury. Crews contained the fire to the kitchen. Light smoke damage was reported all the way up to the second floor. South Shore Fire Department pulled full-time fire rescue units out of the Lake Park station about 3.5 years ago. Now an ad hoc committee is going to be formed to determine the building's future. At the Mount Pleasant Finance Legal License Committee meeting, Trustee Kenneth Waska said the residents of the area want something done with that building.
You've got a couple of pieces of equipment there. The building is, I see Chief Radovan out there knocking spiders off. The doors are terrible. It's kind of a, it could be a dump. I'm not disagreeing with you. Let's discuss it at board level and let's find out. Maybe we'll get a couple of contractors, look at it, say it's a piece of crap. Let's get in with the bulldozers and dump it. Don't just leave it like this, okay?
South Shore Fire Chief Bob Stedman noted the poor condition of the building, called it unfit for any use, including by his department. Problems include possible asbestos in the floors and the ceiling, a failing sewer line. The restrooms need major upgrades if they're to be used again. It's also not an ADA-compliant building. And on Highway 45 near 52nd Road in the town of Yorkville, there's barricades there with the signs that indicate road closed to through traffic, open to local traffic only. One driver of a car ignored that, went through the construction zone and into it, and rather ended up with a broken leg because the car struck the back of a water tanker truck. Car with extensive front-end damage, a passenger, just minor injuries. Sheriff's Department news release pointing out, open to local traffic only. That's for people going to their home or business on that roadway, along with an otherwise closed road. People otherwise should stay out. Driver of that car was cited for failing to obey a posted sign. City of Racine's current due process hearing procedures on alcohol licenses may be changing in the future due to concerns raised by the city attorney's office, past history, and recent legal challenges playing a role. City Attorney Scott Letney telling the council's committee of the whole that licenses, they're a property right. Due process is a constitutional issue, and Racine's process doesn't really match up to state statutes.
At the due process hearing, the burden is on the licensee that the license should be retained. Our process, as I understand it now, is the city or the prosecutor, the outside counsel typically, is proving that the license should be taken away. By law, the burden is on the licensee to demonstrate their license. They should be able to keep their license, and that is an important consideration.
Letney's office seeking changes, including a special committee, not public safety and licensing, to handle due process hearings. Maybe a demerit point system, like in Kenosha, with perhaps 100 in a year's time, automatically triggering a hearing.
One of the ideas with having a specific demerit point system that anyone could point to and they would know is it's a uniform approach. It takes away some of the potential bias or prejudice. It takes away discretion, but the discretion of the council is in establishing the point system as opposed to deciding at that moment whether to go to due process.
Alderman Jeff Coe, he feels stakeholders ought to be involved, including the Racine Tavern League.
Before we implement any of these changes, I'd like to see if we could do a committee at a whole, a public hearing or something like that. I don't think the Tavern League are opposed to a lot of things, but I think there should be input from the Tavern League or any other, people that run liquor stores and stuff like this. And I think we should look at that, trying to get input. I don't think they're against anything, but I think if they were part of the process, it would make a lot easier.
On hand for last night's presentation, Michael Donnelly, vice chair of Madison's License Review Committee, comprised of 6 citizens and 3 alders. He explained the city has one of its attorneys prosecuting cases. Another attorney is a counsel to the review panel, but there's a firewall on the latter to help maintain objectivity.
He isn't part of the investigation. He isn't part of writing up charges. He is in no way part of the city attorney's office's decision to bring something to ALRC and try for revocation or non-renewal. But when we have questions, we are able to ask him. So we regularly ask him, are we allowed to do this?
The Racine Council's Committee of the Whole going to be talking more about potential changes to the city's current revocation due process system in the next 30 to 60 days. And a resolution to add 4 new employees to the Racine County Human Services Department Youth Family Division to deal with a large increase in out-of-home placements of at-risk children, okayed by the county board this week. County Human Services Director Hope Otto warning it will take some time to reverse a trend, urging the supervisors to approve the changes to deal with the current crisis.
We need to be preventative. We need to do early mental health identification, and we need to make an investment in this. And if we don't, we can't expect for things to change next year. And I would be coming forth in a reactive manner, asking just for funds to be able to make us whole in our budget rather than a solution to address the problem.
Human Services Department right now over the projection for out-of-home placements by about 100 children. That's a 40% increase. It's the highest level in more than 20 years. The county board approved the addition of two supervisors and two staff members, with the funding to come mainly from reserves in the human services budget. WRJN.com, our webpage, has our newscasts. They're in there in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.